episode 450.
You sound like the start of a Broadway musical.
Hello, Oklahoma.
Yes.
Hello, Sarah.
Oh, hello, Susie, my darling.
Greetings from an Ashfield, Los Angeles, everyone.
My gosh.
It's rain and ash. Which is way worse.
It's terribly. It's way worse than
men.
Raining men.
Yes. God, I mean, it's been so weird because we had that crazy heat wave where it was like 1,000 degrees, 105 up here. But then in Denver, it was snowing yesterday.
This is literally on my list of things to talk about.
Right?
It's bonky. This set so many records. It was crazy. Did we already say what episode this was?
Yes, 454.
We handled our business. Okay, good. I just always, like, I never know. I just get excited and then I get my mind starts thinking about this freaking, you know, hellish landscape we're living in right now. If you're being affected by any of these fires, my heart goes out to you and I hope that everybody is safe.
For sure.
And, you know, we are here to maybe bring some smiles. But yes, freaking Colorado. 101 degree heat, and then 3 days later, snowstorm and 31 degrees.
Can you imagine?
What? That is the record for the least amount of days between over 100 degrees and the first snowfall. Guess what the last record was?
Gosh, what?
This time was 3 days.
Right.
What was the last record?
Like 3 months?
38 days.
Yeah.
So basically 10 times longer. Almost, whatever more than that.
It's insanity. Yeah.
It's crazy. Yes. So, like, what do you even do? I could use a little, but I do like the idea that the snow stops the spread of the fires.
Oh, that's true.
I did read that. So that's good.
That's about all that we can celebrate, though, about that.
Right. Right.
Yeah. It was hotter than a witch's tit up in here. We don't have air conditioning. I told Sarah.
Were you just dying? I totally forgot about,
I can't even put it into words. Like, it's oppressive where you're like, this is not, humans shouldn't be allowed in this.
What did you send me? You sent me the funniest text message that I was just cracking up about. Because I was asking you, like, what it felt like. What did you say?
When you open the oven, but then you live in the oven. Like, that's where I live, inside the oven.
Like, hey, you know, like when you open the oven? Yeah, it's like that, but, like, I live there.
Yeah, because, you know, when you open an oven and it, like, hits you in the face and you're like,
yes, I do know that. Like, people were legit cooking eggs.
Yeah.
On their pavement, which then I looked up how to do. Not too difficult. And a way to get there faster is using the hood of your car. I think it says something like an egg needs to be 154 degrees to cook.
Yeah, no problem.
I think that, or it's like the sidewalk gets to be up to 154. This was not on my list of things to talk about, but I just read that because I was also thinking, like, could we do this? But I live in Marina Del Rey, where there's always a marine layer. And I woke up this morning thinking that that was it. And no.
Well, that's what's annoying is, like, nobody in our area has air conditioners, really. I mean, you do because you live in an apartment building. But most standalone homes don't have air because everyone's like, oh, there's an ocean breeze. Fuck your ocean breeze.
No, you are not getting that.
It was an oven. Who cares even if there's wind, if it's 5,000 degrees?
Once when I had eyelash extensions, and this is like a PSA for anybody who does have eyelash extensions, because they definitely don't tell you this in the take-home instructions of care. Mm-hmm. I opened my oven, got that wave of heat, melted my eyelashes. Yes. Holy crap.
Yeah.
That was uncomfortable next 2 weeks. Having to snip those. Oh.
Well, that's true for just the ones that you glue on, that the glue started melting.
Oh, my God, yes.
And it goes in your eyes.
Susie, you can't even it was too hot to wear fake eyelashes. Stop. Yeah.
I went makeup free for the first time in probably 5 years.
Is that when you posted that picture with the cute freckles?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You should, I never see you without makeup on.
Right.
Okay. You should definitely do that more often because your freckles are adorable. I love them. And I also think it makes us look even more alike.
That's true. That great. Is true.
Yes.
Yeah, like, but I was
stop
like,
covering
whoa.
Up that sun damage. Let's see it.
Right, right. Right, my premature aging is on display, everyone.
Yes. Oh, that's so funny.
But we made it. We're too yes. blessed to be stressed over here.
Too blessed to be stressed. Well, I'm trying to think. What fun things do I have to talk about?
They
do you want
be real
a
fun.
Serious story? Or do you want... Oh, okay. This is a fun one.
Okay.
Okay, okay, okay. Okay. I'll talk about this because this is cracking me up. So, you know, I was like clicking on articles and like one thing led to another thing that led to another thing. And I was looking at some info on... like research being done on mice and mice in space. And scientists are researching. So here's the problem. When we send people to space and they're in like what I thought was called zero gravity, but they call it microgravity, which sounds really cool. And also like, I don't know, super spacey.
Yeah, adorable.
Yeah, kind of adorable too. And when I tell you that this is related to mice, it's going to be even more adorable. So, so when you're in microgravity, astronauts have to work out 2 hours a day at least to counteract the effects of like
the, microgravity.
Like microgravity has on bone density and bone mass
yeah.
or in muscle mass. They can, even with 2 hours a day, this was like blowing my mind when yeah. I read this. I'm like, why does anybody even go up there? It's dangerous as heck. You're basically going to be wheelchair prone if you live there too long. You can lose up to 40% of your muscle mass in just 5 months.
Wow.
And in each month you're up there, you lose 1 to 2% of your bone tissue. What? Yep, that is exactly what it said in this article that I read on NPR about what
these... What does that mean exactly?
I would imagine the tissue that's in your bones. I mean, I don't want right. to get snarky, but...
But, like, that sounds really terrible.
Really terrible. Because I'm, like, doing the math, and then there's those people who are up there for, like, 200 and something days.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, so that's a big problem, obvi. So, you know, I love when a bunch of, as science does, a bunch of different research all comes together to, like, solve problems and everything like that. So now that we're able to, like, isolate certain genes and we're able to do, like, genetic editing and turn things on and turn things off, the researchers discovered that animals or, like, you know, mice, because that's what they're researching on, that lacked this stuff called myostatin, which I guess is a protein or something like that, they had dramatically more bone mass and muscle mass. They were what they deemed them were mighty mice.
No.
They're like these, yes, they're like super buffed out mice. And so do you remember, like, and this, it didn't say this in the article, but I'm thinking back. Do you remember there was that story about like that? He was called like Little Hercules or something. He was like the kid who was like all
yes.
like ripped.
Yes.
I think he had little production of this.
Oh.
Like he had lower, like he lacked a production of like statin. And I bet if I were to, and then there's this other protein or something, whatever it is, called activin A. And if you control those, that you can basically genetically edit these mice that are super buff. So
that is adorable.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that? Can you imagine like little... Okay, so this is the part that like then was also making me laugh because I think I couldn't stop giggling about this. And, you know, like the PETA people are just going to have to like bear with me and relax for a little bit here.
Yeah,
because,
just settle
you know,
in.
Just settle in. As I imagine these mice would have had difficulty doing as they get sent into outer space. So you've seen all of the space movies that have ever... came out ever, where people go on rockets and get launched up into outer space. And you just see, like, their cheeks are shaking, and they're
yeah.
like, and they're going into, like, zero ground. They're like,
yeah.
I just imagine 33 of these little mighty mice who are, like,
strapped in, like, just, in space suits.
So, with their little cheeks flying
That's
back
adorable.
And their ears back, and their whiskers all pointed back, and the big, huge expressions, because, like, talk about things that mice don't expect to happen to them.
They that did was not like, see it coming.
It was like, solve a puzzle, like run through a puzzle, find some
yeah,
cheese, avoid a trap, stay away from cats. going into outer space probably wasn't on their to-do list. And so that, like, already cracked me up and had me giggling because, like, you know, clearly I'm bored as heck because my mind is letting me imagine these ridiculous things. So they sent all these mice up to space. Oh, and it was 40 mice they sent up to the International Space Station. Also, happening place.
What? Oh, really?
The International Space Station.
Yeah, what's going on
there? Well, don't you
there?
Feel like it's the only way, only place, whenever you read about them, like NASA or whoever's sending things up to space, they're always sending it there.
It's probably like a really cool nightclub.
Well, I was thinking, I'm like, God, well, I wonder what the parking lot there looks like. It's crowded at
and
this
they have like a
station.
Bouncer with a list and like... You have to be really cool to
what
get
if
in.
What if the bouncer was one of the Mighty Mouse who stayed up there?
Right. Super tiny.
Oh, that's really
but
funny.
Strong.
Oh, yeah. So they went up into outer space and they stayed up there for 33 days.
What do they do? Just float around?
Well, I'm sure. Oh, my gosh. That's a really good question. Okay. That is
now
even
makes it
more
funnier.
Adorable of a picture. Imagine how confused they are. Oh, I can't take it. That is really funny to me. I don't know why. Maybe I'm the only person who thinks that's hilarious and adorable. Then I was talking to Ren about, and I was talking about how that is so adorable, and we were both laughing and doing impressions of what mice would look like if they were on a spaceship, which feel free to practice at home with your significant other, because it's real fun. And then he was like, hey, how come we don't have any movies about animals in space? Like,
yeah,
and
right.
I was like, yeah. Air Bud, but no Space Bud? This makes no sense.
Space Bud!
I really do think that they should... That is should be a next movie, like Mighty Mice in Space.
Yeah, it's time.
And there's an actual Mighty Mouse. So we basically just gave you the... I didn't even think about this. I
you're
just put
welcome.
This together. There's your origin story. You're welcome.
There's your origin story.
Yes. Feel free, whatever comic book company would like to pick that one up.
Oh, my God.
Man.
Yeah. We're just giving
stuff
away.
Oh, like, whew, it's coming out of me. I feel it.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I love it. Oh, my gosh. See, okay. What were we talking about? Mighty Mice. So
just,
there you go.
Yeah, Mighty Mice. Well,
isn't
so they're
crazy?
Like floating around in the space station.
Yeah.
Is there someone there feeding them? Like, what's happening?
Oh,
I need answers.
These are all excellent questions, none of which were in this article.
I guess we're just supposed to assume they have it all sorted out.
Yeah.
Which they probably do.
I mean, yeah, if you're sending mice up to space.
They probably worked out the kinks.
Yeah. But this is, I think it's a really good, they said that in the end of the article that this is really beneficial, especially if we want to send people to Mars. And then Ren and I, because like, you know, I'm like always sharing with him all of this information. Like, is this cool? Is this interesting?
Yes.
So then we were asking, and he was the one who predicted. He's like, yeah, we're probably going to need this when we go to Mars. And I was like, well,
why? I don't get it.
Okay. That's what I said. I was like, okay, how did you come up with that answer so fast and easy? And that was literally the last line of the article was this research will be beneficial when we want to go to Mars because, you weigh what is it? If you take your weight and you multiply it by 0.38, you will get what you weigh on Mars. So if you weigh 100 pounds on Earth, you will weigh 38 pounds on Mars. You are lighter. And there's, I would imagine, like less gravity or the atmosphere is not as dense or something like that.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Don't mark me. This is one of those, you know. But
yeah.
I do know the numbers. Those I 100% know because I had that same question. And so that's... We are in a gravity that's lighter on us. So at that rate, it would be like deteriorating our bone mass and muscle mass. So researchers are saying that eventually they're working towards getting to be able to have this in basically pill form.
pill form.
Or like they said, make it into a drug, which I just, now that you say that, that is not necessarily pill form. Maybe like injected, just a drug that they could take and they wouldn't have to like, I don't know, go in and manipulate the genes before or something like that.
Because
then I was thinking like, if we know exactly what gene controlled it, like I'm thinking like future, you know, you know, like mutated people that are super buff and strong, like super soldiers. That's the word I was looking for.
You can create
like you were
going to
help me get there. Yes. Yes. And that's kind of creepy.
You know,
like this is maybe like being used for good, but it's one
really
of those that could very easily be used for evil.
When you read about these people that are just super smart scientists, you just think, I can't believe that we're the same species. I don't even understand what you're talking about.
I feel closer to the mouse sometimes.
Yes, right. That's what I'm saying. I just am in awe at their...
Yeah, I've been... Well, and that's what sent me down this whole... Well, I was going to say rabbit hole, but like mouse trap, whatever.
Mouse trap.
Yeah, of articles. Because I was reading about there are these prizes awarded for breakthroughs in like prizes in like fundamental physics and life sciences. Mm-hmm. And they're like – they call them like breakthrough prizes that are awarded every year. And the weird thing is that they were awarded for 2021 and I didn't understand that. I was like,
I don't like that.
Why do they do that?
I also don't like when magazines send you like the September issue in July.
Yeah, don't do that. Yeah. Why are we doing that? Is it like, I don't know. That's weird to me. So, but anyways, this one of the people who won was this woman named Catherine Dulock. And this I thought was so interesting. This is what got me down the mouse, well, like trap. I was saying, mouse trap, yes. So she won the award for researching instinctive parent behaviors, which I thought was really interesting because you can think about all of like the implications of this. So what she was researching was, do female mice instinctively parent one way and do male mice instinctively parent another way? And like looking at the neurons that each mouse had. And so thinking almost like a male mouse brain, it might be different than a female mouse brain. And they might have different neurons that were associated with some of the, you know, instinctive parenting behaviors.
All right.
And what they found is that it was not binary and that both mice contained, male and female mice, had neurons present for both parenting behaviors. And it's whichever one was stimulated and activated was the one that was strengthened. And the, and why I think that's so cool is what it says about same-sex parents.
Right.
I love that.
Yeah.
And I feel
I
like she's
too.
So deserving of the award. But it didn't say that in the article.
What did it say?
Well, it didn't say that. They just described the research. They didn't say that this is what it can be. I just, like, inferred that. Or, you know.
What do you think? Let's say you're a mouse and you have certain, whatever you said, neurons that make you parent in a certain way. Do you think that that means that they couple up with someone who, you know, for whom that would complement their skill set, or do you think it's random?
I think it's more like whatever the environment calls for.
Oh.
That they, if they need to feed their baby, if they need to, it's like whatever their, that's a really good question though. You know,
because I wonder about that with humans too. And I really hate how people tend to think certain gender stuff is intrinsic. You're just born with a tendency when I don't know that we can even know that. There's no way to isolate or have a control group because everything is so subjective, depending on your particular context and circumstances, how you were raised, et cetera.
Right. Absolutely. And what is it that there's that saying? There's more between group in there's more in group variation than between group variation.
Right.
That there's the swing of everything is so. And so one of the things that they looked at was they looked at neurons that control infanticide behavior that exist in both the brains of males and females. And they looked at the neurons of control parent behavior that exist in both males and females.
Yeah, what did they find?
Well, This was just giving me a summary of the people who had won the award. So I have to go on in detail to
don't you hate that?
Look further in that. Yes. And the other thing is they didn't even give me a link. Like, they didn't even give me a link to her work. They didn't give a link to any of the people's work in this.
I think they don't account for people like us. We have questions.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe we do say this a lot. Like, that they probably don't think that people are, like, you know.
Yeah, they're just killing dead air online. And we're like, wait. I need more.
Yeah. I love it. I just think that's really interesting. Yeah, I'm looking through the whole thing.
Do you ever feel conflicted about testing on mice and stuff, or you feel pretty good about it?
No, I did until I started taking, like, upper level research classes. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, we got to learn this. Because it is so important.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
Like, we can't move forward. You know, we might have to, like, the Earth is on fire. We may need to go to Mars. Fucking A. Like, 40 mice may have to, like.
Yeah, you're just, like, this is an emergency.
You know?
I get it.
I'm like, if it comes to, like, I don't know. I've been watching a lot of Doomsday movies and things like that. Interstellar, P.S., if you haven't seen that shit is amazing.
Okay.
Have you seen that movie?
I don't think I did. Is that Matt Damon?
Oh. No, that's The Martian, which is also one of my favorite movies.
What's Interstellar?
Interstellar is with Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Susie, watch this tonight. I sat on the edge of my chair the whole time, and I was like, why did I resist this movie for so long? And maybe it was because, like, I knew I was – you know how I do that when it's like I know I'm going to love it? Like, I –
yeah.
I, like, don't want to start.
You saved it for a rainy day.
Yes. I did the same thing with Nanette. It's like, I can't yet. I'm not ready.
Yeah. And then I did.
And then
that.
I was like, oh, I wasn't ready yet. And the Interstellar, I was like, oh, fuck, I want to watch every other movie like this. And I, like, started Googling what movies are like this. And there aren't any. So you should totally watch that. Oh, I think it's by the guy. It's the same guy who's doing that movie. Oh, my God, I'm totally going to sound like a mom here.
Right.
It's the guy who's doing that movie that's like, there's a lot of controversy about. He wanted it to come out in theaters, and he was like, only in theaters, and it was they held the release, but people really want to see it, and it was released. Yes.
Yeah.
That one.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car, you should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, so I have some good facts that I want to share with you, and I'm trying to think of which one. Okay, so I'll let you pick.
Okay.
Do you want to know about the physics of ketchup? A new way to help insomniacs using something that I feel like for some reason you find annoying, but I don't even know if this is true, but I just feel like
bet.
You would. Yeah, that's hilarious. Or... yeah, just pick between those two. Those
ketchup, of course.
Oh, ketchup. Mm-hmm. Really? Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting. I didn't think you were going to pick that, especially with my heavy sell on the thing that you... I'll end up talking about both, so it doesn't even matter.
Well, we're okay, a big ketchup family over here.
Yeah, uh-huh. Okay, this is good questions. Tell me about how you use ketchup. Tell me about your... give me a breakdown of your experience with ketchup.
Well, as a Pittsburgher,
I'm not looking for any specific answer, so feel free.
I am a Heinz loyalist. I can't even believe that some people buy other brands of ketchup.
What do they call it? They call it something ridiculous. Like, it's not even called ketchup. It's
called catsup.
Or yeah, like something weird.
Tomato
sauce or so, like not even sauce. Like, I don't know. Something like that.
It's an insult to ketchup is what it is.
Yeah.
And by the way, those restaurants that are like all, you know, farm to table, whatever. You can fuck off with that homemade artisanal ketchup. Nobody wants that. We all want Heinz.
Wow, who knew you were going to be more annoyed about this article?
But Adam, my husband, is absolutely ketchup obsessed. Mm. He puts it on pizza. He puts it.
What?
Yes.
What?
Yes. And now my son does. It's disgusting.
Did they know about marinara sauce? Does he? Okay.
Did they know about? Like, on one hand, it's sensical. I get it.
Like, but I get it. You're like halfway there.
Yeah. It's so gross, but they love it. He puts it on everything. And he has it like, he'll put the food in one hand and then the bottle of ketchup in the other. And he does like squirt. For each bite.
Oh, this is so appropriate then.
Okay, tell me.
He's going to need to know this. Please deliver the Adam, if you're listening, listen up. This is the moment you should actually listen to us. Okay, so ketchup is really interesting because if you were to say there was a trick to getting it out of the bottle.
Oh, the glass ones, yeah.
What would be your trick?
I always smack the 57 on the Heinz bottle.
Classic. Yeah. Okay. So that is like the thought.
Sure.
But the truth is ketchup is one of the most, it's just a really interesting liquid because, well, I shouldn't even call it a liquid. It is what they call a non-Newtonian fluid. Mm-hmm. So it's a fluid that basically doesn't follow normal laws of physics.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Doesn't it? Mm-hmm. So this was really cool because I did not know a lot about these kind of things. So it's a solid, but it acts as a liquid depending on how you shake it.
Mm.
So ketchup is basically a bunch of these little round particles, like pureed tomato.
Yeah.
That comes out in these little, teeny tiny round particles. But if you shake it and you apply pressure to these molecules, they change from a circle to an ellipses.
No.
And when they become an ellipses, their viscosity or like the porability of it, or basically it becomes, get this, 1,000 times thinner.
Whoa. So if you do what?
Shake it.
If I shake it.
So that's the trick. That's the trick is not hitting the bottle. The trick is not...
shake it up.
It's shake it up. And the crazy thing is that... Well, it's all kind of crazy to me. But what I thought was, kind of like, ooh, that's cute, is that back in the day, in like the 1970, something like that, Carly Simon's song Anticipation was the theme song in the Heinz ad in the late 70s. So because they made the whole thing like the anticipation, you have to wait to shake the bottle before. So it was like a thing that people knew about. And then hitting the 57 kind of like took over.
I wonder though,
which I think is interesting.
I wonder if the 57 bit, like maybe it should be a two-part thing where you shake it and hit the 57 because doesn't hitting of the bottle, isn't that just creating the air pocket that then lets the product escape? You know how you need like air?
I see. Yes.
I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, it does. It says once you shake the bottle past its breaking point where past the point of force where it stops behaving like a solid and starts behaving like a liquid.
Yeah.
It doesn't even matter.
Wow.
And the weird thing is when you think about this, like, I do get this. It's always, like, the last person to use the ketchup bottle that has the most success with it.
Yeah.
And you think it's like, oh, because...
they, like, lubed it up or something.
Yeah, but it's really because we've actually changed the shape
of
the molecule.
Structure.
That's kind of cool.
That is cool.
I think that's cool. And now, like, the more I think about it, the cooler it becomes. and then one of the things I feel like I've complained about since like they first made their way to my refrigerator was like how long it took to get a squeeze bottle. I'm like, that's ridiculous.
That's a good point. What the hell?
It took
them
way
so long?
Too long. But then when you were telling me about how Adam holds it in one hand and then has his food in the other, what the last little bit of this article, which was on NPR, by the way, I'll post this one cause it's pretty cool. Okay. And just nobody tagged Jemmy in it. Because
oh
she would hate that. And but if we can get involved in that like Twitter convo with her and Heinz Ketchup and like, I feel like now we have an in because that's like, as I said, one of my favorite online combos to follow.
Right.
Or like feud, but not really. Yeah. Twitter beef. dipped in ketchup. Hilarious.
Yeah, she said the reason for her phobia.
No, I don't remember.
We don't know.
But she did go and talk to Phil and talk about it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
She needs exposure therapy.
Yeah. I wonder if she would like it different if it were a liquid or a solid. We should ask her.
Right.
She probably won't want a picture either way.
Does she have a brand that she hates the most?
Probably Heinz.
Yeah, probably.
Which is like good advertising for Heinz.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. This is not affiliated with Heinz, but if they want to sponsor us.
She loves Hunts.
We will be Team Heinz.
Of course.
Yes. But in all this, so what made me want to share this last part, and especially with Adam, is that there were these two kids that it says, even if you make it into a liquid, it doesn't solve the one problem that's okay. So annoying with the squirt bottles. And that's like that, like, I can't even make a splash noise. How do you make that noise? That like splatter, like thing that it does at the end.
Yeah. Where it farts.
Yes. That. Mm-hmm. And it like sprays everywhere. Mm-hmm. So these high school students from Kansas created a cap that prevents watery ketchup from squirting out ahead of the good stuff.
See, that is the kind of science we need.
Why haven't they been awarded with something? And why haven't we just taken that on? And why isn't that in every ketchup bottle?
Is it not?
No, it's a mushroom-shaped cap, and it does look different. And it really works. I watched a whole video on them.
I guess it's like cost-benefit analysis. Because
yeah, and is it one of those things where, like, the ketchup company, like, wants you to waste
big ketchup.
Fucking big ketchup. People loved our theories, conspiracy theories about Big Puzzle.
Like when you called it the puzzle industry on Instagram, I was LOLing.
Well, I only called it that because you called it Big Puzzle TM, and I was cracking up because I was like, that's a very marketable name for a puzzle with big pieces.
If we ever have a company.
Actually, TM. Yeah. Right now. Right. It's kind of like when Michael Scott declares bankruptcy. And he's just like, I declare bankruptcy. It's like, it doesn't work like that. Like, we just trademarked that because we just threw a TM on that. Right? That, like, counts.
Correct.
Oh, gosh. That's really funny.
We're losing our marbles, and I kind of love it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm, like, fascinated. I'm giggling at Mice in Space. But that would be a good movie, and somebody should make that.
I mean, don't you think that the mustard problem is worse, where it like leaks out that juice on your hot dog?
You know? But I feel like the same cap could solve that problem as well.
Yeah, I think they really need to go for that.
Oh my God. Other really good question. Does mustard behave the same?
I think it must.
I kind of think it does now too.
And mayonnaise.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
Why would you do that?
Because it's the same.
No, but like, say that word.
Sarah.
It doesn't. It's different. That just becomes, I know what happens with that. What happens with that is that the friction, the motion or whatever causes the liquid to heat up. I'm not even going to use that M word.
Wow.
And it's
You're
so gross.
Getting worse.
Susie, it's only because I feel like I'm in imagination zone when I'm on the podcast. You know what I mean? Like, no. I'm like, no, you don't. Of course you don't. Because that's a really weird thing to say. Nobody knows what the fuck that means. Except like a 5-year-old.
Sarah's in
like,
imagination
I'm there.
Zone.
Like there. Well, I think you do know this. Because you know how you say sometimes you take ideas and you're like, I'm going to think on that later.
Yeah.
And you like write them down and you get to that place where you think. You're like in a meditative state where your mind is very open.
Yes.
I feel like when I'm on the podcast, I'm in a meditative state where my mind is very open and creative. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you know, what ifs?
So you don't like when I introduce phobias into your imagination
zone? Yeah. Uh-huh. Because then I'm really able to visualize it.
Oh, right. It gets worse.
You know, it gets... Because, like, regular, I'm probably like, no. Ren and I were talking about mayonnaise last night. See, I can say it. It's, like, worse if you shorten it for some reason.
The four-letter word?
Yeah.
Okay.
The O ending is in a Y.
Okay.
It's interesting.
Ugh. Well, do you think, though, that you just don't like the flavor, though, or do you have a true phobia?
And here I am talking a bunch of shit on Jemmy. I just realized that maybe this is me just projecting.
You need to create a feud with Hellman's.
Oh, my God, no, because then I have to look at it. Oh,
to look.
I get her. I get you, Jemmy. I understand.
Well,
now.
And it would be terrible if people like put it on you. You know how they do that with
her?
Oh,
no. Oh, I would hate that. No, because one time I even remember the moment where it like got worse for me. Oh my God, this was when I was like 22, 21, like your Halloween at 100% chance of a hangover that on that age, that day,
okay.
That night. Just, I'm, you know, drinking cheap booze way more than I should have. And like, it's Halloween. I'm like eating candy. It's terrible. So I woke up the next morning feeling awful. And I even remember it was the day my period started. So everybody knows right. How much worse that is.
Mm-hmm.
And I was driving in the car with a friend and her boyfriend at the time. And I was in the back seat and feeling horrendous and hoping the car ride would just be over. And I had to throw, I was like, I'm going to throw up. And my friend's boyfriend would not stop playing the song, shots, 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 shots.
Wow.
And then he would pause the song to start talking about hot mayonnaise. And then would turn it back. And I was like, what are you?
That's
this is
really
your
mean.
Car. He pulled over and it's I abusive. Just threw up everywhere. And right. And I was like, I am going to puke in your car. What are you doing, you idiot? So I think that was the moment where it really like solidified like my hatred of it. And then it paired the puking of being hungover with
yeah.
the thought, the visual.
Yes.
And then the idea of it being hot. And I was really hot that day and we were driving in the car and it was like, ugh. So
that
is, it's a perfect recipe full of mayonnaise, which I would never want to eat.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Do you think it really just comes down to the like viscosity or?
Yeah, it's the tomatoes, they said. It's the molecule of it, like a tomato puree.
Oh, well, maybe it's not the same then for mayo. Oh, sorry.
Right. For you're so apologetic. Oh, but that's what I was saying about it. Like when you heat it up, then made me think of hot mayonnaise, which is why I went off on that tangent. Now I see where the sentence
nothing.
I started that never finished. I think it's just the oil that's heating up and turning from a solid into a liquid the same way like when you like leave butter out on the counter.
Ooh, right, yes.
So it's more of a melting and a breaking down of the molecule than a
shift in structure.
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense.
A non-Newtonian fluid because you couldn't change it back without adding a heat element.
Right.
Or a cold element.
Yeah, change it back to solid. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then with this one, all you would have to do is stop shaking it.
Right.
And then it would like
motion,
eventually like
wiggle
back. Ooh, that's weird. Think of all those little molecules just going from ellipses to like
a
little circle.
And ketchup is not affected by changes in temperature. Like whether it's in the fridge or out.
What's that about?
Yeah.
I'm becoming a hoarder of ketchup packets as my camping increase.
That's smart.
Camping trips. Yeah. But I also, this is making me think about a whole bunch of stuff. I'm going to do my own little PSA, which is something I just realized last night. And now I feel so guilty about. This is probably just me projecting again. And if you guys are like already do this, like feel free to roll your eyes and be like, Sarah, we've been like, duh, we've been on this for months.
Okay.
I have got to request in my takeout orders, please don't include silverware and napkins.
Yes.
I'm not doing that, and I just thought about that like last night, and I think about how many – I mean, I now we just use them for camping, and I store them up like that, but good Lord, my box is full. Do other people request – do you do this? Request no forks and napkins, or do you forget like me? Is it just me who forgets?
No, I see it all the time on all the zero waste sites that I follow, the Instagram accounts. They always tell you – and they even like – email companies and say, don't give me extra packaging, you know, when they put tissue paper and stuff like that. But I don't go that far. But
right. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, that's an easy one that you can do, though. So that's doable.
Because you just include it in the notes. And I bet they would like that. Because it feels so wasteful. Yeah, saves them money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, and that's I only need so tip. Many backup in my car. I was not meaning to talk about that, but, you know.
No, that's a good reminder for people.
Yes, 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 yes. Okay, last little thing that I want to talk to you about. Oh, my gosh, but there's... Well, first I'll tell you this little story. This is just like a little tidbit that I saw. The woman who's credited with inventing the gender reveal party... Mm-hmm. Her comments about everything that's going on are hilarious and now my favorite. And I just started following her. And she's grateful.
Okay.
She's so funny.
Tell me.
Yeah. So her name's Jenna. Me too. I was like, this woman's going to be a real pill. And then it's the exact opposite of that. She is one of the most outspoken people about, which is why I was like, this is such a great story. She is one of the most outspoken people, like anti-gender reveal parties.
Good. So, okay. What the hell?
In 2008, she wrote about her gender reveal party on some parenting like forum. Mm-hmm. And then she was interviewed by Bump Magazine and like became credited as being the like gender reveal inventor. And so then like she said her pride, like in the article, she said her pride in being the gender reveal MVP didn't last very long. And she went on Facebook in 2009 and she says she has a lot of mixed feelings about her random contribution to the culture. And this is her quote. She said, "Who cares what gender the baby is?
I
did at the time because we didn't live in 2019 and I don't know and didn't know what we know now. The assigning focus on gender at birth leaves out so much of their potential and talents that have nothing to do with what's between their legs."
Yes.
And then she posted a while back, she posted this great picture of her daughter who was the first gender reveal party baby. It's of her daughter who now dresses in only suits. And says, plot twist, the world's first gender reveal party baby is a girl who wears suits. Good. And so she's posting the most hilarious commentary to it. And it's just like cracking me up. And so she's a great follow. And her last one, and you know, some of them, this one was more serious. And she was like, "Oh my God, no. The fire that evacuated parts of California is from a gender reveal party. Stop it. Stop having these stupid parties. For the love of God, stop burning things down to tell anybody about your kid's penis. No one cares but you."
Yeah, fuck. Nobody cares.
Isn't it great how, like, I was clicking on, when I clicked this article, and I was like, oh, God, what is she going to say? I was like, please don't be like we should still get... She's like the opposite.
Thank God.
Yeah, it was really great. And oh, my gosh, I should find... Because even her most... like, I was like, let me click on her Instagram and see like what she's all about. And then when I did, I just looked at the very first picture and I saw the comment or the, what do you call it? The caption is so freaking funny. I was like, oh my God, follow right this second. She says, I'll read it to you. "Mariah Carey gets Christmas because she's super talented. I get famous every summer because I made a cake once. We are equals. Those are the rules." And I was like, hilarious. Follow.
Yeah, so, that's cool. I'm surprised that she's like that.
Me too. And I like that she's a Girl Scout troop leader. So I like that there's that kind of, you know, it's like, gives me hope.
I really do hate how people think other people give a fuck about what their kid is packing.
Yeah, they don't.
Like, I don't understand the delusion that you think you're that important. And I was in reality TV. Like,
yeah.
And to me, it's just insane. The self-importance and, like, it's just all wrong.
It really is. Ugh.
Like, it makes me mad.
That's why I've said this for, I don't know where, I must have read this somewhere a long time ago, like as some kind of like meme or something, that if anybody asks me, I'm just going to say, fingers crossed, it's a dinosaur.
Right.
So just, and then it'll be like, oh yeah, that is a weird thing to ask, maybe. Or they'll just be like, that's a weird thing to say, which is probably more likely the case.
Whatever it is that you expect, it's not going to be anyway. Like, it boggles
my mom
my
is
mind.
The champion at guessing, though, at being like, oh, you're having a girl.
Oh,
you're having
really?
A boy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I wonder how
she should
knows.
Just add the word biological in front of there or something.
Right. I mean, that's fine because you can say whether you think something will have a penis or whatever. But like the explosions and the...
Oh, it's so stupid.
The pink and blue and the...
I can't with that.
Why?
The explosion. And how... this isn't funny. None of it is funny. But you were right when you said it's probably a boy. The baby.
I did not say that.
Oh my God. Didn't we say that? Like...
I want to be right.
I must have like dreamt that because I was like, "What gender do you think it was?" And I felt like you said with the when we talked about
on the last this a time long we talked time about ago. It. Yes, I did say that. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. I was like, I swear, I must have. And then I was like, if you didn't say that, then I'm having full blown dreams about
I thought you
our
meant
podcast.
On this call.
Right. No, not on this one.
Okay.
Yes. Well, I'll save my other good story for next time.
Wait a minute. I want to. Is it the one about that I'm going to be annoyed?
Well, yeah, it's like by a it's about an object or a thing that I think you would like think is an annoying thing to own.
Tell me now.
Okay, now I'll have to tell you.
So I was like, I have regrets. I was like, I think but
that
I
you,
hear
well, back. I think that you like the whole like the what the research shows, but what is your general feeling on hammocks?
Oh, I hate hammocks.
I knew you were going to hate hammocks. See, this is why I know. This is why we're best friends.
That is.
I wasn't so sure about your feelings about ketchup, but, you know, but that's more your relationship with Adam and his love of ketchup. So, I didn't know that. But
hammocks are dumb.
Know.
They're like camping. It's like, why would I use a hammock when I could sit on a couch or whatever?
Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because researchers... kind of asked the same question, or they were looking at how does one get the best night's sleep? And so...
There is no way that it's in a hammock.
Susie.
It isn't!
I'm about to blow your mind.
Come on.
So, researchers conducted an experiment where they took a bed and they created a rocking motion that simulated the movement. It matches like the same movement, a very similar kind of swaying and rocking movement that a hammock would do.
Okay.
And it was really just to look at like what kind of movement will help people fall asleep.
So it's like being in utero or something.
So that was one of the interesting things that it's much gentler than that.
Aww.
And it's even gentler than how a mom would rock you. It's more like a
floating.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a sway. And now that I think about it, it's kind of at like the same pace that we do like almost like EMDR kind of work, which is interesting. But as researchers were looking at, one of the things that they thought they could definitely predict or they like had good faith in was the results on showing like rocking would make a difference in how fast people fell asleep.
Okay.
They were like, oh yeah, rocking will definitely do that. But what they...
Yeah.
And it does. So you're definitely going to fall asleep faster if you're in a hammock or being rocked. Mm-hmm. But what they were shocked by was it increased this kind of sleep called N2 sleep that it's basically when you're not in REM cycle. And it's a super important part of our sleep where we have what they call sleep spindles that help calm you down. And you see them, people who live in noisy environments benefit more from having these sleep spindles because like they help their brain calm itself and it helps improve neuroplasticity. So the brain's ability to like heal itself and like create.
Come
on. Yes.
I reject this.
I know you do. I knew you would be annoyed with this.
Because it's not true.
It is. And so the guy who's doing the research, the researcher was like, don't like wait. Oh. And what he said it could be beneficial for was, like people who have had strokes, people who have like, brain disorders later in life, because we really need that neuroplasticity and you really need that time and sleep. So he was like, don't wait for, you know, a bed to be invented that like rocks you back and forth. Just go in your backyard and use a hammock. And like take a nap in hammocks and you'll have better sleep. And
so do you think it's like mainly
shape.
For
the rocking.
Napping or you think people are supposed to sit in that thing all night?
Oh, I don't think you sit in that thing all night. Okay. I think, oh, excellent question, though. I definitely don't think, I think your back might hurt if you would replace it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. All right, if you're talking about a nap, I can get on board with that.
Yeah, we're talking a nap. But he did say, he's like, yeah, just go in your backyard and like use your hammock. Come so on. There you go.
Right? Yeah, it just doesn't feel supportive.
When in your back.
Like, have you ever slept in a hammock?
Yep, 100% in Costa Rica.
In the woods or something? Okay.
And I chose to. That was the crazy thing. In fact, now that I remember it, looking back, also it was like hot as balls. Well, I imagine it was similar to the oven that you live
that
in.
That I live in.
Just like a humid one, like a steamer.
Yeah. Mm.
And
you climbed in there.
I was sleeping inside, and then I'm like, oh, forget this. I'm sleeping on the hammock on the porch. And my mom said that's the majority of the time where she slept.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And it's so comfortable, and it's really nice.
Like, if and I'm near a hammock, yeah. I'll climb in and have a you know, swing, but...
Yeah, you're not sleeping in any.
No, because my bed's cozy.
Well, yeah. You're not going to, like, trade out one for the other. But you know what? My bed in Costa Rica was not cozy.
Okay, well, then that's a nice alternative for you.
Yeah.
Neuroplasticity.
You know, I'm trying to think about, like... Because now... This is one of those studies because then it's like, oh, yeah, that's great and all. But if you were to compare somebody who slept in a bed for a month and somebody who slept in a hammock for a month and what the effects of that would be,
right.
I wonder if it
that's
would be
what I
like,
want to know.
What is it called? The law of diminishing returns? Or
yeah.
You know, we have questions.
Yeah. We're not done with you, hammock.
But
all
we
right.
Have to
well,
wind
thank
down.
You for indulging me and sharing that extra
yes.
story.
Yes. Yes.
People have really been loving our wind down, by the way.
I know. They really have. I love
they
it too.
Said they didn't know they needed it.
Yes, that is exactly what I'm hearing as well.
All right. Well, let's do
and
that.
I didn't know I needed it too.
we learned about mice.
I love
and
when
space.
You said yes, mice in space.
Or as Sarah calls
space
them,
mice.
Mighty mice.
Mighty mice. I don't call them that. The researchers do.
Oh, okay.
That's like what they, it was in quotes. So
well, Sarah did suggest that people should think about a sequel to Air Bud called Space Bud.
Yes. Jamming through the universe, jamming through the galaxy. That would be. Yeah.
Then we learned about the jamming physics of ketchup,
yes.
which was
yes.
very enlightening.
Yes. We took a trip down a dark memory lane of mine.
A mousetrap.
Exploring the mayonnaise phobias that I didn't know were so strong.
And then we found out that we're pretty happy with the lady that invented the gender reveal party.
Yeah. Turns out, big fans.
Yeah.
Not so much of parties, but of...
For gender.
Yeah, right. But we are of her.
Yeah, she's snarky. She probably listens.
Oh my gosh, she'd be totally a brain candy brainiac.
Right.
We should talk to her.
Yeah. Call
see
her.
See what's up with her. I will. I'll send her a DM. I'll be like, hey.
Slide into her DMs.
I'll slide into her DMs. Ah.
All right. Well, we've covered a lot of ground, and we'll see you next time, you guys.